You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Chapter 7. I got hold of Mrs. Grouse as soon after this as I could, and I can give no intelligible account of how I fought out the interval. Yet I still hear myself cry as I fairly threw myself into her arms. They know. It's too monstrous. They know. They know. And what on earth? I felt her incredulity as she held me. Why, all that we know, and heaven knows what else besides. Then, as she released me, I made it out to her, made it out perhaps only now with full coherency, even to myself. 2 hours ago, in the garden, I could scarce articulate, Flora saw. Mrs. Grouse took it as she might have taken a blow in the stomach. She has told you, she panted. Not a word. That's the horror. She kept it to herself. The child of 8. That child. Mrs. Grouse, of course, could only gape the wider. Then how do you know? I was there. I saw with my eyes. Saw that she was perfectly aware. Do you mean aware of him? No, of her. I was conscious as I spoke that I looked prodigious things, for I got the slow reflection of them in my companion's face. Another person this time, but a figure of quite as unmistakable horror and evil. A woman in black, pale and dreadful, with such an air also, and such a face, on the other side of the lake. I was there with the child, quiet for the hour, and in the midst of it, she came. Came how? From where? From where they come from. She just appeared and stood there, but not so near. And without coming nearer? Oh, for the effect and the feeling, she might have been as close as you. My friend, with an odd impulse, fell back a step. Was she someone you've never seen? Yes. But someone the child has, someone you have. Then, to show how I'd thought it all out, my predecessor, the one who died. Miss Jessel. Miss Jessel, you don't believe me? I pressed. She turned right and left in her distress. How can you be sure? This drew from me, in the state of my nerves, a flash of impatience. Then ask Flora. She's sure. But I had no sooner spoken than I caught myself up. No, for God's sake, don't. She'll say she isn't. She'll lie. Mrs. Grouse was not too bewildered instinctively to protest. Ah, how can you? Because I'm clear. Flora doesn't want me to know. It's only then to spare you. No, no, there are depths. Depths. The more I go over it, the more I see in it. And the more I see in it, the more I fear. I don't know what I don't see, what I don't fear. Mrs. Grouse tried to keep up with me. You mean you're afraid of seeing her again? Oh, no, that's nothing now. Then I explained, it's of not seeing her. But my companion only looked wan. I don't understand you. Why, it's that the child may keep it up, and that the child assuredly will, without my knowing it. At the image of this possibility, Mrs. Grouse, for a moment, collapsed, yet presently, to pull herself together again, as if from the positive force of the sense of what, should we yield an inch, there would really be to give way to. Dear, dear, we must keep our heads. And after all, if she doesn't mind it—she even tried a grim joke. Perhaps she likes it. Likes such things. A scrap of an infant. Isn't it just a proof of her blessed innocence? My friend bravely inquired. She brought me, for the instant, almost round. Oh, we must clutch at that. We must cling to it. If it isn't a proof of what you say, it's a proof of God knows what, for the woman's a horror of horrors. Mrs. Grouse, at this, fixed her eyes a minute on the ground. Then, at last, raising them, "Tell me how you know," she said. "Then you admit it's what she was," I cried. "Tell me how you know," my friend simply repeated. "No, by seeing her, by the way she looked." "At you? Do you mean so wickedly?" "Dear me, no, I could have borne that. She gave me never a glance. She only fixed the child." Mrs. Grouse tried to see it. "Fixed her? Ah, with such awful eyes." She stared at mine as if they might really have resembled them. "Do you mean of dislike?" "God help us, no. Of something much worse." "Worse than dislike?" This left her indeed at a loss. "With a determination, indescribable, with a kind of fury of intention." I made her turn pale. "Intention? To get hold of her." Mrs. Grouse, her eyes just lingering on mine, gave a shudder and walked to the window. And while she stood there, looking out, I completed my statement. "That's what Flora knows." After a little, she turned round. "The person was in black, you say?" "In mourning, rather poor, almost shabby, but yes, with extraordinary beauty." I now recognized to what I had at last, stroke by stroke, brought the victim of my confidence, for she quite visibly weighed this. "Oh, handsome, very, very," I insisted, "wonderfully handsome, but infamous." She slowly came back to me. "Miss Jessel was infamous." She once more took my hand in both her own, holding it as tight as if to fortify me against the increase of alarm I might draw from this disclosure. "They were both infamous," she finally said. So for a little we faced it once more together, and I found absolutely a degree of help in seeing it now so straight. "I appreciate," I said, "the great decency of your not having hitherto spoken, but the time has certainly come to give me the whole thing." She appeared to assent to this, but still only in silence, seeing which I went on, "I must have it now. Of what did she die? Come, there was something between them." "There was everything." "In spite of the difference?" "Oh, of their rank, their condition," she brought it woefully out. "She was a lady." I turned it over. I again saw. "Yes, she was a lady." "And he so dreadfully below," said Mrs. Grouse. I felt that I doubtless needn't press too hard, in such company, on the place of a servant in the scale, but there was nothing to prevent an acceptance of my companion's own measure of my predecessor's abasement. There was a way to deal with that, and I dealt. The more readily for my full vision on the evidence of our employer's late clever good-looking own man, assured, spoiled, depraved. The fellow was a hound. Mrs. Grouse considered as if it were perhaps a little a case for a sense of shades. "I've never seen one like him. He did what he wished." "With her?" "With them all." It was as if now in my friend's own eyes Miss Jessel had again appeared. I seemed at any rate, for an instant, to see their evocation of her as distinctly as I had seen her by the pond, and I brought out with decision, "It must have been also what she wished." Mrs. Grouse's face signified that it had been indeed, but she said at the same time, "Poor woman, she paid for it." "Then you do know what she died of?" I asked. "No, I know nothing. I wanted not to know. I was glad enough I didn't, and I thanked heaven she was well out of this." "Yet you had, then, your idea?" "Of her real reason for leaving? Oh, yes, as to that, she couldn't have stayed. Fancy it here, for a governess. And afterward I imagined, and I still imagine, and what I imagine is dreadful." "Not so dreadful as what I do," I replied, on which I must have shown her, as I was indeed but too conscious, a front of miserable defeat. It brought out again all her compassion for me, and at the renewed touch of her kindness, my power to resist broke down. I burst, as I had the other time, made her burst into tears. She took me to her motherly breast, and my lamentation overflowed. "I don't do it," I sobbed in despair. "I don't save or shield them. It's far worse than I dreamed. They're lost."
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Phoebe Reads a Mystery is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.